Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the Spirit that teaches us, that draws us into your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you remind us when we have gone astray, when we are not seeking you with all of our hearts. But Lord, the things of this world have crept in and have clouded our minds so that we don't see your plan and purpose in all things that happen to us. We thank you, Lord, for those little nudges that bring us back unto you, that remind us of whose we are. We are not our own. We have been bought with a great price. And I pray, Father, that that would be our mindset as we wake up in the morning and go through our day, that we are on a mission, to be witnesses for the living and true God, the one who would not see any perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And so we are then transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we read your word, your Holy Spirit brings these things to our hearts and our minds and makes them real to us. And as we sang today, being changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because only this world can conform us. But to be transformed is to be in your word, to have your Spirit dwelling within us, to give you permission to make the changes necessary to be a witness for you. So I pray, Father, that you would indeed have your way with us. Pour out your Spirit today on those that are hearing this word today, so that we might be witnesses for you in this world. Oh, Lord, we do love you, and we pray as your word goes forth that, Lord, that you would just make it real to us, that you would just allow us to just bask in it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Teach us today, in Jesus' name. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 13. We're going to start today in 13:13. Well, 12 maybe. Yeah, 12. That's good. It's hard to really pick out a place in this because it's all so apropos as we're going to move forward into chapter 12. And as Dr. McGee, or J. Vernon McGee, I don't know how many are familiar with him, he used to say, it's where the rubber meets the road, okay? It's Christianity in shoe leather, another commentator would put it. And in chapter 13, Romans 13:12, he says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And we went through the armor of light in Ephesians 6, and you can do so at your leisure again, just to refresh yourself, you know, with those things. But, you know, and I've heard a lot of commentators talk about, Paul was able to take these things because he was chained to a Roman guard, and he would look at the garb that the helmet that they had on, the breastplate, and all of these things, and he would be able to make spiritual applications. And my poor attempt at humor before we started was kind of in the same kind of vein. However, I don't believe that that's where Paul was drawing it from. Just because he was chained to a soldier doesn't mean that he was drawing his spiritual analogies from that. Because if you go back into where he was really pulling this from, he was pulling it from Isaiah 45, okay, which talks about the very same thing. So Isaiah must have been, you know, chained to that same Roman soldier or, you know, whatever. We know that he was not, but the things that, and what's becoming more and more clear to me is that the New Testament is basically a commentary on the Old Testament, okay? And it's what Paul is doing here, and what Peter alluded to as we were reading it, is that, hey, Paul has been gifted with this, he's been able to bridge the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament to make them all real to us. And he's not saying forsake the Old Testament, because in there is instructions, the ways of godliness that the Lord had put down to us, but he's just commentating on them, saying, hey, these things are true, and this is how we understand them via the Holy Spirit. So we are seeing now Spirit-filled men able to take the Old Testament scriptures and explain them to us. And so as we're going through this, he sees, hey, you know what? These things, we haven't just jettisoned the Old Testament in favor of this thing we call grace. It is an enhancement of those things. It's how we understand the Old Testament. It's how we understand our relationship to the law, our relationship to God, and how we maintain that. And so here he's staying, and if you were to be looking at this with physical eyes, trying to understand these things, right? He would be, you would be taking these things, okay, this is something that I have to do. I have to cast off the works of darkness. When the works of darkness start to manifest themselves in my life, I have to cast them off. Like David would say in the Psalms, he says, I will put no evil before my eyes. I will put no wicked thing before my eyes, to make myself to stumble. But that's not what it's talking about here. What we have to do in this particular instance is when we see the works of darkness manifesting themselves in our lives, as we are taking stock in our lives, as we are saying, hey, how do I look to myself, much less somebody else? Then we're going to see, well, you know what? I'm doing these things. These thoughts are creeping up in my mind. And we know that Jesus made it quite clear to us that the breaking of the law doesn't mean the outward sign of doing these things. It matters what's going on the inside. Are you lusting after somebody else's husband or wife? Are you trying to, are you full of envy? Are you full of strife? These are the things that are internal. These are things that happen within us before they even reach the surface, before other people even see them. But if we examine ourselves, if we judge ourselves, as the scripture tells us, we will not be judged. Because why? Because we're going to ask for forgiveness for those things. We're not going to be wallowing in those things of the flesh. And we know what those things are because the flesh really likes to wallow in those things. The flesh really loves to, be in strife. Why? I don't know. Because it causes tension, Your heart rate goes up, your blood vessels constrict, and, it's all manner of physical things. But it is the spiritual aspect of it all. We have the Holy Spirit, you see. The natural man doesn't have that. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit to bring to mind that, hey, you know what? This is not of God. This is the things that you need to repent of. And so as the Holy Spirit brings these things to us, then that's how we cast off these things. We're not wallowing in those things. We're not living in those things. And we're putting on, then, the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, or in chambering and wantonness, or in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In other words, don't be seeking after your own. That's basically what he's talking about here. Don't seek after your own, but put on Jesus Christ. Now, when we put on Jesus Christ, we're basically being clothed in his righteousness. We're casting off our righteousness, our good works, our good thoughts, if you will, and we're putting on Jesus Christ. We're transforming ourselves, chapter 12, verse 1, by the renewing of our minds. Taking in the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, allowing the Holy Spirit to make it a part of us. Because without him, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. So he's telling you right off the bat, it isn't a matter of your will. It isn't a matter of your works. It isn't a matter of what people can see, because people can be deceived. People see whatever they want to see. You could be doing a good work for God, and somebody will look at it and say, well, this is not a work of God. And we see that time and time again in the Old Testament with the prophets. How can you be a prophet of God if you're telling us to surrender to the Chaldeans, they would tell Jeremiah? You're a collaborator. You ought to be put to death, you see. But he was doing that very work of God had told him to do. Tell the people to do this and they will live. If they don't do this, then they will die. So there is the work of God. It's not always what we can see. And so therefore we need to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves. What's my thoughts? What's my motivation behind this? Not that I'm doing it for show, but I'm doing it for personal integrity. And as this gospel of Romans has gone forth, it's been all about that. It's about your relationship with the Lord as if you were the only person on the planet. I mean, if you can think back, when God created Adam, Adam was the only human on there. And God and Adam had perfect fellowship. There was no sin to block the fellowship, and they had fellowship. But then the Lord said, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. He saw that the program needed to continue. And what was the program? To, when they eventually sinned, that they would be redeemed by himself. You see, it's kind of a neat thing. It's you know, and this is kind of a it's a loose kind of an analogy, but it's, you know, if one of your kids or your brothers or sisters went to jail or something, you would go and bail them out. That's the whole aspect of it. You're going to go and bail them out and get them out of jail. Well, that's what God basically did. Man sinned. He was condemned to death, and he came and took his place, bailed him out. And it's free, and all he has to do is just receive it. And so it flows from within, as the Lord here is going to show us here. It's not making the provision for our own flesh. But then we go out into the world, and the world then starts to look upon us, and it sees what's going on inside us. Now, as we have been going, you know, as we have come from different walks of life, some of us have come from, a no church whatsoever background. Got no religious baggage whatsoever. Yeah, okay. I thought you had to go. But there are some. Some of us have been in the church all of our lives, in, let's say, a liturgical situation. Maybe we come from a Catholic background, or a Lutheran background, or Episcopal. So, you know, something that has a structure and a hierarchy involved in it. Well, the person that came from a no-church background, they've got nothing to unlearn. You know, me, I had to go through years of unlearning what I had learned as a child. And so when Paul goes on to in chapter 14, he's going to say, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." Now what he's talking about in this is that as they are going out into the society, now this is Rome, mind you, and there were a plethora of gods, okay? And a lot of times that when the butchers would butcher meat or whatever and they would sell it, they were offering it up to the idols of that time. And to get the good cuts of beef, you would have to go into the idol's house. We call them restaurants today. But, you know, and that's exactly what they would do. They would go to the butcher shops and they would get it. And I don't know if you've ever been in some of the, the meat houses or even the supermarkets where they have little gods and stuff like that hanging out. If you've ever been to a Chinese restaurant, you see these little Buddhas and whatever all hanging up. And it's the same kind of a thing. But we know that these other gods are false gods. They're not real. But if you're brought up in that culture, in that area, these things are very real to you. And they're very familiar with the rites and the incantations that go on with the offering up of this meat to the idols. And if they saw a believer going in there that came out of that, and they saw somebody going in there that they knew was a believer or somebody that was, you know, a seasoned believer, if you will, and they were in there buying meat, they would be stumbled by that. Why? Because they knew all of the nuances that goes along with what they do when they butcher the meat. They know of the incense and the incantations and things like that they would pray over this meat and offer it up to whatever god it is that they had that back then. And there were many of them. And so the weaker folks would see that and they would say, you know, I'm stumbling. How can you be a believer in Jesus Christ and go to this place to get your food? You see, so they've resolved in themselves to keep themselves from, you know, falling, is that they resign just to eat herbs or vegetables or whatever, to be a vegetarian. And we see that in the things today. When people go, when they're celebrating, the resurrection, or when they're celebrating Christmas, everybody has a little traditions that they bring to us. But what Paul is saying is that these old idols, they don't mean anything. And if you're weaker, that means that you haven't shed those things just yet. Okay? That doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It doesn't make you any more of a Christian. It doesn't, because you don't eat or because you do eat, it's irrelevant to your standing to God. But it's what you're doing to stumble a weaker brother or sister. See, this is where the shoe leather starts to come in. When you're going out, when you're discipling somebody that's weak in the faith and has a problem with this, that, or the other thing. And then you go in and says, well, you know, I really can't go into that place right now because, you know, they have this in there. I, you know, some people that have been alcoholics, They won't go into a store that sells alcohol. They'll only go into those places where, well, good luck finding them, but you know, I mean, that are completely non-alcoholic, because they feel that it would stumble them. Even being around it, being having the opportunity to purchase it would be, you know, it would be too much for them, and they would be tempted beyond what they would be able to resist. And so that would be considered a weaker brother in their mind, not in their spiritual walk, but in their mind, because they're trying to keep themselves from that old life. But they see you go in, you know. And you're buying your groceries or whatever. You're picking up a six-pack of soda or whatever, and you come out. You didn't buy any alcohol at that particular time, but you know, they maybe stumble because a big sign across the top says liquor. Well, you know, should you not go there because of that? No, but you'd be mindful of who is around, who's watching you. And if you see somebody that's a weaker brother or sister, then forgo going in there. Don't do that. My wife. She's a baker. Yes, I'm going to tell the story. For the longest time, she's been buying vanilla extract. Okay. And now, how vanilla extract is made is that you get some vanilla beans and you get vodka. And you put it in, yeah, and you put the vanilla beans in the vodka, and you let it sit for 6 months, and that's how you get vanilla extract. Vanilla extract has got the highest, alcohol content of anything that you can just buy off the shelf without ID. Did you know that? That's good. Then you stay away from that. Just my vanilla extract. But for the longest time, and she's always wanted to do that. She's always wanted to make her own because she's like that, you know. She tries different cake recipes and things like that, but she's afraid. She was, not afraid, scared, afraid, but she didn't want anybody seeing her going in and buying a pint or whatever they come in of alcohol, because she's afraid that somebody would see her and it would stumble somebody. But that's just being mindful. That's being, you think, well, that's kind of silly and stuff like that, but think about it, you know. Oh, isn't that the pastor's wife? And aren't they coming out with, what's in that brown paper bag that you got there, you know? You see, but it's the semblance of evil, eschewing all form of evil. But she was doing that for a weaker brother or sister. Now, we know a lot of people. And I'll bet you, if she was to go and buy it on her own, how many people do you think that she would run into on the way out of the store? So what you got in there? Oh, chips and, oh, really? Okay. You know, but being mindful of that. So, a couple Christmases ago, my daughter-in-law presented my wife with some vodka. And we had a good time with that. And she also got some beans to go with it, but, you know, I'm not sure what... Whatever did happen to that, honey? Too late. Got it on tape here. But nevertheless, but she uses it for baking and things. It's very harmless application. But yet, somebody could look at that and be stumbled by it. You know, somebody that's having a problem in that issue. And that's basically what chapter 14 is all about. It's about looking out for weaker brothers and sisters, being mindful of them, putting them ahead of yourself. That's how you become great in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, become a servant to all, being mindful to where people are. Now, to be mindful of where they are spiritually or in their walk, what you need to do is you need to talk with them. You need to have fellowship with them. You know, I can look about in the fellowship here, and I've had conversations with folks. You know, I mean, I don't know all of you as intimately as I would like, because, you know, I mean, there's just not enough time. But I know, you know, all of you, pretty much. You know, and it's kind of neat to be able to, you know, hey, so-and-so is having a problem with this, and you lift them up in prayer. Or somebody's, you know, having this issue or that issue. And you can just lift them up in prayer because you know them and you're intimate with them in the respect of conversations that you've had and fellowship that you've had with one another. We're going to have an opportunity this evening or this afternoon, you know, after we've had lunch, we're going to be able to get together and corporately lift up the needs of the body in prayer. You know, and it's a wonderful thing for the body of Christ to come together to lift up the needs. So let not him, verse 3 of chapter 14, that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So it's a two-way street, and it's an exercise in judgment. It's an exercise in your spiritual walk to, hey, you see something, you don't fully understand what really is going on. You know, just as if somebody was to see my wife come out of the store with those items, they wouldn't know the whole story behind that. They would just assume things. They would put judgments on them. And so the Lord puts things in our path, and we see things, and we just kind of like, what's going on here? And instead of judgment, the Lord can then speak to us and say, okay, this is exactly what I was talking about in Romans 14. Okay? You need, if you're having a question about those things, or if those things are bothering you, where do you go? You take that person, you take that situation in your mind, and you lay it before the Lord. And you don't judge others. Judge yourself. Take stock in yourself. Lord, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking that of this godly person? I know this person. I know that this person is that loves you. Why would I be thinking this kind of a thing toward them? You see, it is self-examination. Therefore, you're not judging anybody. You're judging yourself. And as you judge yourself, you realize, hey, this is sin. You know what? This is sin. I don't have all the facts. I can't know all the facts. And yet I'm casting a judgment. Lord, forgive me. And 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Who art thou then that judgest another man's servant? Absolutely. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? And again, it goes to that very thing that I was talking about, is that you stand before the Lord yourself. And nobody else is going to be around you. No outside influences are going to, you're not going to be able to call any witnesses when the Lord, you and the Lord hash out the things that you've been doing. Okay? And we'll get to that a little bit later. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Others esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not to the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. He giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man die to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So, there it is in a nutshell. Hey, we are the Lord's. But the thing is that we don't live to ourselves. We can't live to ourselves. We have to have fellowship one with another. We have to have the opportunity to be weak before people. We also have to have the opportunity to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And we can't do that in a monastic lifestyle. If we're sequestered away from everybody and not having any part or parcel with the world around us, how are we going to know how we're supposed to pray, how we're supposed to live? If we're living somewhere away from all of the trials and tribulations of the world, how in the world are we supposed to encourage one another? Well, it can't be done. That's why people forsake the gathering of ourselves to get themselves together. Well, that church, well, it's just full of hypocrites. I mean, I can't go there. I mean, well, yeah, we're hypocrites, you bet. We say one thing, we say we love God, and yet we sin. Well, that's hypocritical, isn't it? Because God doesn't sin, so why would we be sinning? Because we're dust and ashes, and we need to have encouragement, and we need to have people come alongside and help us. Just as the Holy Spirit would lead you and guide you to that person that you need to have encouragement. Give encouragement and get encouragement. We're not always strong, but we're not always weak either. You see, there are seasons for weakness. There are seasons that we need to have people come alongside and encourage. There are seasons when we're physically burdened. There are seasons when we're spiritually burdened. But there are also times when the Lord lifts us up. When we are on top of the world because the Lord is lifting us up. And we are strong. And the Word of God flows freely from our mouths. And then we are able to come alongside people and encourage them in their walk, encourage them in their life. So many people have taken their own lives because they don't have encouragement. They're alone. They're sequestered. So many people that you would talk to, you hear on blogs or you hear people going out and killing other people, they were alone. They didn't have anybody. There was no support system, as it were. If we cut ourselves off from the fellowship of the believers, then we cut ourselves off from the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We don't allow those who need to practice in encouragement to come and encourage us, even though we may not think that we need it. Oh, man, well, he's the pastor. He doesn't need encouragement. He's there to encourage everybody else. Wrong-o. I need encouragement just like everybody else needs encouragement. You need encouragement just like everybody else needs encouragement. And you need to practice encouragement as well. That's why the Lord made us. That's why the Lord knit us together as a family, as a fellowship. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Now, this is a rhetorical kind of a question. But why do we judge our brothers? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, well, the judgment seat that he's talking about here is the Bema seat. It's the place where all believers will go to confer with the Lord of the things that have been done in your life. Everything will be brought into account. Everything that you did in this life. Now don't worry, this is not a judgment for sin. Sin has been taken care of already. If you're a believer and you're sitting before this is a place where the Lord is going to review all of the things done in the body. Every idle word that has been spoken is going to be brought forth. Okay, and you're going to give an account of those things to see whether they've been done in the Spirit to show you, basically, is what it is. Because sometimes we deceive ourselves. Let's face it, we're human. We don't want to think badly of ourselves. And, well, that person really needed that sharp little comment because, they were really out of line and I really needed to give it to them. And I believe that the Lord just gave me the words to give to that person to just, the little goad, I mean, that's what the Lord used me for. He used the Old Testament prophets to, get the people, children of Israel in line. Well, he's using me now to get that church in line because those guys, they're just, they're flakes. And so he's given me this quick wit so that I can do that. Well, the Lord's going to bring it to our attention that, hey, you know what? I believe this has been done in the flesh, you see? And we're going to receive rewards for things done in the body. Wood, hay, and stubble were for things that have been done in the flesh. But gold, silver, and precious jewels for those things that we allowed the Lord to do through us, you see? And that's what we need to be mindful of. That's why the fellowship as they gather together is so, so important. So that we know how to use, how to allow the Spirit of God to work through us rather than us trying to plan at this, let's see. If this person says this, then I'm going to say that. And then they'll say this and they'll say that. Have you ever done that? You're saying, let's just say you're going to the hospital. How am I going to encourage somebody? If I'd say this, and then I can quote this scripture, that scripture. Yeah, okay, we got it. We're going. We're good. And then you have confidence and you can go forth. But what does the Lord say? Do not think ahead what you're going to speak. I will give you a mouth. And I will give you the words to speak when it's necessary. And I find that the more that I just allow the Lord to do it, I just go where the Lord tells me to go, He gives me those words to speak. Those words of comfort. Those words of rebuke if necessary, or correction. But it's always done through Him. And it's never biting. It's always poignant. If you look at the Old Testament scriptures and you look at Ezekiel, and you look at Isaiah, Ezekiel especially, he's going to be one that I'd like to look at. I mean, he laid naked on one side for so many days, and then he laid on the other side for another, really? Ezekiel, really? What did you think when the Lord told you to do this? That's got to be something. A lot of different things, the Lord has His points for doing these things. And so I got to hand it to these guys. I don't know that I would be able to to do that. So, and I don't want anybody else doing that either. So don't, Don't think that the Lord told you to come to church naked. Okay, that's not what the Lord is going to tell you to do. That stuff's been passed now. So we got the Holy Spirit that teaches us and things like that. But the judgment seat of Christ is to align what we thought we were doing as right to what the Lord wanted to do through. And so it's going to be a time, it's really going to be a time of rejoicing, but it's going to be a time of personal one-on-one instruction. Now, don't we always long to see the Lord face to face? Don't we always long to say, Lord, I wish you were here and I could look into your eyes and I could hear your voice tell me this is where you want me to go. I want to be so certain that it's you telling me where to go and not my own flesh. How many of us would long for that? But this is the time that it's going to happen. And you say, well, it's a little late for that. No, 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 no. Paul tells us, he gives us a little glimpse into eternity. And he says, in the ages, plural, yet to come. You see, this is just the training ground. This is just the beginning of the beginning of eternal life. You see, where we're introduced to Jesus Christ. And we're able to, by faith, hear his voice. By faith, receive him. By faith, able to be directed by the Holy Spirit, you see? These are the things, this is just the beginning. We are going to have ages and ages that are not even written about yet in the book of the Revelation. So in the ages yet to come, we will be able to show forth Christ's glory. We will have more time to witness after this world has passed than we did in this time. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ. We will be able to show forth Christ's mercy, his grace, all of the things that he's done. Our lives will be a testimony. You remember when you sat underneath that boring guy at Calvary Chapel downriver and you listened time after time to him talk about those things? Well, this was a built-up impatience, you see. And you're going to be able to show forth that in the ages yet to come. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And again, he's quoting from the Old Testament. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Being mindful of that, thinking of others more than yourself. Yeah, it's hard. It definitely is. It can be a downright hassle. Oh, gosh, here comes that. Oh, man, I'm not going to be able to do the things that I had planned to do today because so-and-so is going to be hanging around. Oh. You ever felt that way? Oh, gosh. Oh, I wanted to talk to so-and-so, but now I got to talk to this person. No, I guess you guys never have thought that. I get that. Okay. But, you know, it happens. You know, we must put on Christ. Christ did not think it robbery to be equal with God as he was in this earthly form. Okay? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of others minded first before yourself. That's why you make no provision for the flesh, because you're not thinking of yourself. You're thinking of others before yourself. Now, before you go crazy, before you start to think, oh man, this is another thing that I got to do. It isn't something you have to do. It's something that happens to you. It's what tells you that you're being transformed. I'm thinking less and less of myself, and I'm thinking more and more of others. Why is that? I don't get that. Before I met Christ, that never happened. I never thought about anybody else but myself. Everything that I did, every thought in my head was always to bless myself. If I'm not blessed, then how can I bless others? That's not how it works, you see. Because the Lord is now in me, because the Lord has changed me, because the Lord has transformed me, I'm starting to think like the Lord. I'm starting to do those things that the Lord did. The language of agape love is give. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then we start doing the same thing. We start giving. Wow, you know what? Have you ever gone out and ministered to somebody and realized, you know, halfway through the day or maybe even at the end of the day, well, you know, I didn't even eat today? Have you ever gotten that? Have you ever done that? That's because you're thinking of somebody else other than yourself. You're not even meeting your own bodily needs because you were so busy doing something for somebody else. You see? That's what others-minded is about. And it creeps up on you. It scares you sometimes. Wow, how can this be? I always eat it this time, and this, but I haven't eaten all day. Have you ever made that statement? It's because you're others-minded. You're thinking of serving others rather than yourself. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Look, it doesn't matter what these guys do, what incantations they do, or what rites, or what incense they pass over the meat. It doesn't matter. They can't defile it. It's still okay to eat. You know that, but this guy, he's got a problem with it. All right, we order pizza again. Okay, no problem, okay? No more steak. We'll eat pizza for a while until this guy gets into what Christianity is about. There are people on different levels of their walk with the Lord. Some are brand new babes. They don't understand a lot of things. They don't understand the freedom in Christ. You tell a newborn babe in Christ that you have absolute freedom, and they're going to think that they can do whatever it is that they want. Is that true? Hey, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. Does that mean I can sin at will, at random? No, that's not what that's talking about. I have the freedom to walk in the ways of the Lord. I have the freedom to be away from sin. I don't have to sin. That's what freedom in Christ is all about. I don't have to sin. I don't have to. I have a choice. I don't have to sin. Then, let then not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So you see, it would be wrong for this new believer to be coerced into eating something if he doesn't truly believe it. If he believes that these things are real. A lot of people don't like Christmas trees, okay? They just don't like them because they read in Jeremiah that, hey, it's an idol, okay? Some people don't have a problem with it. Okay, I'm not going to sit there and try to convince somebody who has a problem with it that it's okay. Because they rise and fall before their own master. If they have a problem with it, then fine. I'm not going to have a Christmas tree. Don't have a Christmas tree. I'm not going to coerce you into saying that. I'm not going to make references that are going to make you uncomfortable. I'm going to think about you. And you know these folks. You know, there are folks that have a problem with this, that, or the other things, and you just don't bring these things up. You know, because it would be uncomfortable to them. But you still want to have fellowship with them. You still want to nurture them. You still want to have, you know, maybe disciple them. Maybe grow them in Christ. So, for meat's sake, don't destroy the work of God. Condescend to those of low estate. Hast thou faith? Have it unto thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, this, you know, this should be something that you should print out, make a big plaque or something, and put it right next to your TV. Okay? Seriously. You know, let me go back over that again. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. This is between you and yourself. What are you watching on TV? What are you looking at on the internet? Where are you going? What places? Now, in my mind, if you can handle an R-rated movie, if you can sit through it and say, you know, hey, this has artistic, you know, whatever, you know, you think it's something that you can handle and you want to see and you can put up with all of the things that make it an R-rated movie, then happy are you if you're not condemned by those things. But don't take your kids there. Don't take somebody who has a problem with these things there. You know, be aware of those around you and think about them before yourself. If you have a problem with certain things, you shouldn't watch those kind of those shows. Looking at the ratings these days isn't a sure bet that those things aren't even going to be in there. However, happy is the man that is not condemned by the things that he allowed. There have been many a movies that have been recommended by Christian folks that my wife and I have looked at, and we've turned off within the first 15 minutes because, man, this is vile. How can they be? How can you? You know, but that's us. You know, and there's movies that we recommend, people just didn't get them at all. This wasn't as funny as you thought it was going to be. So, you know, everybody has different tastes. But the idea is don't be offensive in those things to yourself. Don't allow things that you know don't partake of things that you know are wrong. That's what that he's talking about here. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This is what we need to underline. This is what we really need to get. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever things that God has not directed you to do is sin. That's basically what this is talking about. Okay? Because you are his. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own anymore. What is it about following Christ that we need to do? Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow after him. You see, we're supposed to be dead to the things of the flesh. And we're alive to the Spirit. So if the Spirit of God is directing us to do whatever it is that we're doing, then that is of faith. If we're doing things in our own flesh, then that is sin. It doesn't get any more plainer than that. Follow after the flesh, sin. Follow after the Spirit, life. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Others-minded. In chapter 15, we're not going to go through chapter 15, but the first verse in chapter 15 kind of sums everything up. It should be a part of chapter 14, I believe, but we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Okay? We are God's hands. We are God's arms. We are God's witnesses here in this world. We are his servants. And we come to encourage the believer. We come to shed light in the world of darkness, to be a light. So if we're following after those things of the world, how much of a light can we be? Can darkness and light coincide one with another? Can you enjoy in your flesh and still partake of the Spirit? Isn't that being double-minded? That's what the Scriptures here is relaying to us. We cannot be double-minded. We have to follow after the Lord, die to ourselves, or follow after the flesh. Die to the Lord. Die to the flesh, die to the Lord. It's up to you. It's a choice that we make every single day. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches. We thank you for the love and the mercy that you pour out to us. We pray, Father, that as we walk through this world, that we would be mindful of our brothers and sisters. That we would be mindful of what you have done for us, through us, to us. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name.